Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's going on? It's Kevin Deers here on Metal Shop, Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, and, you know, hopefully soon Metal Shop will be back on the air live, and I'll be in studio hanging out and taking all your requests, but I appreciate everyone who stood by and waited in anticipation and subscribed and liked the Metal Shop Backstage Pass podcast, doing a ton of interviews for the last 18-plus months while I've been staying at home. I built a home studio. And I've gotten to chat with everyone from Rob Halford to bands like Sanguisugabog and Frozen Soul to power metal bands to most recently I spoke with Bron Daler from Mastodon. They have a killer new album. And, you know, I have a bunch here that I'm actually staring at. Coming up soon, I'm going to be releasing interviews with Ghost Bath, Full of Hell, Edge of Paradise, Dead Heat, Brian from Shibulba. Got a band called Aeon going to be releasing. 2021 has been an incredible year for music. As the shows have come back, there's been so many albums that have just blown my wig back. And I'm actually in the process of compiling my top 30 albums of the year. Not just 20. It's going to be an added 10 there. So you can catch that on KISW.com in the weeks to come. Hope everyone had an awesome Thanksgiving and was able to safely assemble with some family members or just eat a whole bunch of good food by themselves. However you celebrate, I hope that everyone had a nice Thanksgiving with a couple people you love. So I got to see my sister and my my niece and my nephews, and it's always awesome to hang out with those kids, and they're always just, they wear me out, man. But the best part about being an uncle is you can feed them all the candy and then just leave and let my sister take, do what she has to do, be the responsible one. I just get to spoil them and then walk away. It's the best part about being an uncle. Here on this episode of Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, it was recorded a couple months back, actually. I had this one kind of in the tank. Had this one here ready and scheduled for this week, so you will hear some references to my quote-unquote first show back, and that was Megadeth and Lamb of God and Hatebreed, so that's a bit dated, but I spoke with the vocalist of a band called Seven Spires. These guys have a new album out on Frontier, and it's called Gods of Debauchery. I actually spoke with Adrian Cowan, the vocalist of the band, and we get to chat a little bit. Was actually kind of funny. I scheduled this and I got the timing wrong. So when Adrian texted me, was like, "Hey, I'm ready to go," I had to just totally hook up my phone to my control board and was a bit taken aback. But we got it back on track and it was all good. So sorry about that, Adrian. Hope I get it a little bit more professionally done next time, but I think it turned out well. Either way, Seven Spires, Gods of Debauchery is out now if you're into power metal, kind of symphonic metal. Definitely check out that record. But without any further ado, here's my interview with Adrian Cowan from the band Seven Spires here on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop, and right now I'm talking with Adrian from the band called Seven Spires. How are you doing this morning?
Not too badly, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Doing pretty good here. Gearing up for the return of some shows. I just saw my first concert back. Went to go see Megadeth, so that was pretty cool, but it was also pretty jarring to go from 18 months of no shows to a humongous one.
Oh man.
Have you gone to any concerts yet? Since everything. Have you gone to any big concerts yet or anything?
Actually, no. I think the most crowded thing that I've been at this whole time has been the airport. I haven't been to any shows or anything. I pretty much just stay at my house and, yeah, a little boring.
Was that a, are you typically a homebody, or are you someone who likes to really be out there in the thick of everything?
It's really hard to say because before all of this happened, I pretty much spent all of my time on the road and then would sometimes be at home for up to 2 weeks at a time. And when I was home, I would just stay at home because I was exhausted and liked to be in my bed. So it's been interesting. I got to learn about myself, and I guess, yeah, I really do like to be at home. And you know, eat the food that I like to eat and sleep in my own bed and, you know, right. Just be comfortable.
Yeah, that was something that I had to get comfortable with, but I'll tell you what, I actually got very comfortable with it, so.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
I would hope so.
So, the new album, Gods of Debauchery, is out now. Tell me a little bit about, did you guys record this during the pandemic, or was it already done before we jumped into that, before that came about?
We wrote and recorded it during the pandemic. We got sent home from the first day of tour on March 12th, I think, last year. And we spent 6 months writing it, working on it every single day, and then another 2 months recording it. Jack, the guitar player, engineered all four of us.
Wow.
The poor guy. And, yeah.
So this was, you know, your third album. And tell me a little bit about recording it during, you know, this show in the world. What was different for you guys, if anything?
Honestly, not that much. We all live in different states, and I actually even live in a different time zone than the rest of the guys. So we're used to working remotely, and, you know, like all of our other albums, Jack engineered the drums at Chris's place and the bass. Actually, Pete came to South Carolina where Jack lives, and they recorded the bass here. Jack did the guitars here. I did the vocals here. And, honestly, it wasn't that different. It was just we happened to all have a lot more time because, you know, none of us were busy doing other band stuff.
Right. Well, so when you said you're busy doing other bands, are you active with another group, or is this?
Chris used to play with Vital Remains, and Pete does a number of other musical jobs, including directing a choir and playing with a couple of other bands. I think he may have actually, I'm not sure what his status is on that. He also plays Manouche Jazz on the weekends. And I sing with a few other bands, Avantasia, Sasha Pitts, Masters of Ceremony, and I also play keyboards in Winds of Plague.
Wow. All right. Well, talking with some real savants here, that's amazing. So your voice is insane. Like, it's just so soaring in like, to quote something really corny, quote unquote, majestic. You have a gorgeous voice. When did you start singing? I'm assuming probably at a very young age.
I was super young. Thank you so much, by the way.
Yeah.
My mom likes to say that when I was a kid, my life was a musical, which I think means I was annoying as hell and just sang all the time. I started doing theater when I was a little kid, and I joined choirs when I was 9, I think, and started taking private voice lessons when I was 12. And it all just went from there. Ended up going to music school, studying vocal performance, among other things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm a lifelong student of my craft, and I'm definitely a really big nerd about it.
Did you ever, consider going the route of, going to Broadway and doing musical theater? Or, what gave you the, rock and roll bug?
I actually, it's funny you say that. I'm definitely, an ex-theater kid, and I really wanted to be on the West End. I was living in England in my school years. And at some point I was like, man, I really love musicals, but I don't like acting and I'm not very good at, dancing and stuff like that. I just have a problem with my particular vocal range. I would probably be typecast as a lot of not lead roles basically. And I wanted to, that's not what I wanted. My grandfather always says, go where you're appreciated, and try to just be the best at it. And I ended up falling in love with Children of Bodom, actually. Because that was the first band where they had, a cool keyboard player that I heard, and I was like, wow, I could really do this.
Yeah.
Because, at the time, I thought that you had to scream to be a vocalist in a metal band.
Sure.
And I just thought, that was such a cool vibe, and wow, that's something that I could do. Eventually, I learned how to scream anyway, so it's all fine. But yeah, here we are.
Wow. So when was that? Was that out of college or high school?
I found Children of Bodom. I think I was in 9th grade.
Nice.
It was in Nasty Days, and I was looking for new music to listen to, and I just downloaded a bunch of random stuff and then would go through it and see what I liked and didn't like. And I think Bodom After Midnight was the song that I found from them first. And I was like, yo, this keyboard solo, though, this is great.
Yes.
I
remember one of the first people I really saw that was rocking the keyboard, Children of Bodom, of course, but I was watching Bleeding Through live, and Marta was killing it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was just like, holy crap, because I was like, okay, it's not, it's not Journey. It's straight up brutal hardcore with some keyboard, and that really was okay, keyboard's not a nerdy instrument, it's gonna be badass too. Well, I mean, it's kind of nerdy, but it's all nerdy, everything's nerdy with metal.
That's true. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was like, man, I'm realizing that we make music for nerds. I mean, it's absolutely true. And I'm also a nerd, so I'm allowed to say that. I say this lovingly. But yeah, keyboard's definitely a badass nerd instrument.
I remember I interviewed Devin Townsend years and years ago, and he said that he appreciates having an audience of nerds because they all have jobs and they can all afford tickets to his concerts and merch.
You know what? That is yes. Absolutely yes. I started a Patreon earlier this year, and I have an introductions channel on my Discord server, and not everyone, but many of them are like, hi, my name's this, I'm from here, I work an IT job, I'm IT support, I do a computer science something or other. It's all these people are so smart.
Yep.
And it's exactly as you describe. I'm happy that they're there and we can do that. So yeah. Money's an awkward thing for me. I don't really like it.
Fair enough. Well, the tech workers, they might, be busy with their hands and busy with their minds, but they can listen to music all day long, and so it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's actually a great point.
So the new album, again, it's out now, God's Debauchery, and in your opinion, was there anything that you guys wanted to approach on this a little bit different, or what was kind of the... the idea going into it? Was there an overarching theme to it, or?
I think our goal was the same as it always is, which is to push our limits and just write the music that we want to hear. We do write concept albums, and it is chapter 3 of 3, I believe. So there is sort of an overarching theme and a story of sorts, but you know, it always kind of writes itself as we're working on the album. It's never really like, all right, this is how the story is going to be, and we need to write these specific songs. Like, everything's super organic, and we just sit down and write, man, you know?
I like it. Yeah, it's our greatest thing, man. We just got to do our own, man. You know, it's yeah.
It's so cheesy to say, but we literally, like, would wake up, drink coffee, write music, eat, and then go to bed every day for 6 months. And so, like, it's silly to be like, yeah, we just wrote it, but that's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hate to, you know, do this if you consider it prying or anything, but a lot of people on this level, you know, I do a metal radio show, and a lot of people that I talk to, you know, if you're not the Iron Maiden or the Slayer or the Metallica, a lot of people have day jobs. I have a day job that I have to go to after this. Do you also have a profession aside from music, or is this a full-time job for you?
Music is a full-time job for me. I'm Killer. Really thankful for that. Unfortunately, touring was my main source of income.
Yeah.
And that's not really happening right now. But like I said, I started a Patreon earlier this year, and they're helping me stay financially stable. And also, they're just great people, and they have done a lot for my mental health as well. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if you would count that as a day job. Avantasia is my other day job when they call me to sing with them. But but yeah.
So, you know, that's one thing is that a lot of content creators / artists, you know, and people have really pivoted to these different forms of, you know, making content or art, and also, you know, being in touch with their audience and their fan bases over this the pandemic. A lot of people creating art on creating content on Twitch, and a lot of people are doing Patreon and stuff. And I got to say, it's probably pretty liberating to go out there, and it's probably like an amazing thing to have that like immediate response from your listeners and stuff. It's got to be really cool, huh?
It's absolutely wonderful, and I really love to talk to our fans, and I crave that connection, and I miss that specifically, that aspect of like standing at the merch booth at shows and like,
yeah,
you know, saying hello to everyone that came to the show. But I really have a problem with social media, and I don't have a thick skin, and it's hard for me to accidentally read, you know, mean comments and stuff like that. So to have a place where I know that I can just go and like read whatever messages they've sent me and know that I'm safe and like I don't have to like have my guard up or anything, that has been honestly like that is somehow even more valuable to me than the financial aspect. Even though I do need to, you know, pay my bills.
But it's a good community. It's a community building thing. And these people, you know, you obviously, you know, I'm on the back end of a Patreon for a local wrestling company here in Seattle. I do the content for them. And so I see the names that come in every week, every month, you know, so I'm going to, you know those people. And when they introduce themselves at shows, you know, we can have a conversation. And so you're going to know these people that are messaging you or viewing your videos on Patreon. And it's a community building exercise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's been really cool. I'm on our Discord server pretty much every day, and awesome. It's like I see people like meeting up in real life, like from that server, and they'll like go to shows together and stuff. It's like super wholesome. So it's not just for me, but it was there for me at first, but I think it's become a thing for all of us now. Yeah.
Move over Tinder. I met my wife in the Seven Spires Discord.
Yeah, actually, there's at least one pair that I think kind of got to know each other more in our Discord server.
Oh,
that's
God.
Actually really sweet. Yeah.
You are a matchmaker, damn it. That's amazing. Okay, so just a couple more questions for you, if you don't mind. Do you have to go right now?
Sure.
Or do you have time?
I got, like, one more minute.
Okay, awesome. One more minute.
I'm sorry.
No worries. I started this a little late, so I'll jump right into it. So this is a question we like to ask everyone that we speak with. And again, definitely pick up the new Seven Spires album, Gods of Debauchery. But before we go, pick one scar on your body, Adrian, and tell us the story of how you got it real quick.
One scar?
Yep, a scar, and tell us the story behind it.
Ah, what a great question. I have a scar on the back of my, I have to check, right leg? It's almost faded now, but I got my leg caught in a bike chain when I was a kid.
Oh, no.
I was going down a gravelly hill with my dad, and it was like next to a bayou, and I fell off my bike because I was afraid that if I didn't do that, then I would go careening like into the bayou, which is disgusting. I had like these puncture wounds in my leg for a long time, and like it's the type of scar where you can like put your finger kind of like in it, so it's like concave. Yeah, it's kind of gross. Sorry.
It's like a divot.
But yeah, that's one of my weird scar stories.
I like it. All right. Well, thank you very much for jumping into this conversation and talking about the new album, Gods of Debauchery, available now by Seven Spires. And hopefully, you know, in the months or years to come, we could see you in Seattle live. The world's a weird place right now, but appreciate you chatting with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to go back to Seattle. I love it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.